Invite you to grab your outlines because I want to share with you about how to live in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's great whether you're out in the mission field, no matter what you're doing. What we want to look at today is how do we actually do that? How does the Holy Spirit live in us? And it might be different than what you would think. It's very everyday, very practical, and I'm going to use this section from Ezekiel. Beautiful section. And Ezekiel's encountering an impossible thing. If you're encountering an impossible thing, do you have an impossible thing in your life right now? Maybe it's with a person, maybe it's with your health, maybe it's, you know, do you look at it, do you have this thought, can these dry bones live? How is this going to work out? What's going to happen in this situation? Well, Ezekiel had the same question. Check it out, though, that God posed the question to Ezekiel. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't Ezekiel that posed it to God. It was God that brought it to Ezekiel because God had the answer, and God wanted Ezekiel to trust. Just talks to a man, says, what do you think, Ezekiel? And it's an impossible task. A little bit of background that might help you with this is that at this point, the people that Ezekiel's speaking to have lost everything. None of us have experienced that. None of us have experienced, I don't think anyone here has lived in civil war. I don't think anyone has lived in a place where your whole home has been decimated. Maybe the closest we have, a tornado might have affected your homes. We have friends that live in Hawaii. We used to live like 12 miles from where the volcano is erupting. And we have friends whose homes are destroyed. Now, you know, that's a phenomenal thing to have happen. These people had lost their home, their temple, their land, their jobs, family members. This is a remnant that has been taken captive, and they are in Babylon right now. And Ezekiel's speaking to them. So this is a horrible situation. The king that actually came in and conquered the land brought them back and put them in a sort of prison. I mean, they're bound there. They have to remain there. And so this is the guy that's ruling over them. So this is an unfathomable, difficult situation. So fantastic is the solution that it's like raising dead bones to life and putting new life in them. Now, so new life for dry bones. Look at verse 4. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O bones, hear the word of the Lord. So he speaks the word of God to them. He talks with them and he just speaks what God tells him to say. And there's new life to those bones. And when I thought about that, stop and think for a second, because this is what we were talking about this during the week too. We were kind of thinking about how does God need to speak into my life, into the dry bones that you have in your life. Some of the things that come to mind is, let's say there's things in your past that still haunt you, that you think about that, and they bother you even in the present, and it's difficult to know how you're going to find a solution to this, and it's just gnawing at you. Many people nowadays, I'm amazed at how many young people are depressed. They are depressed. They are bummed. They have anxiety. And you know, and I can share this with you. There is no amount of guilt that can change your past. All right? No amount. There's no amount of anxiety that you can spend that's going to change the future. Focus on the now. Focus on the here and now. You'll notice there was a horrible situation, both future for Ezekiel, both past for Ezekiel. The guilt of not following God and losing everything you have and knowing and being told over and over again it's going to happen, that's heavy to bear. In the present, live for God. In the present, let God speak His word to you. That's what He's telling us to do. What will happen if you do that? If you do that, you will be changed. Why? The Holy Spirit's working that way. That's where the Holy Spirit's working in you. That's where the Holy Spirit's working in me. And He wants you to live in the present right now. And if you do, and if you realize this is the day the Lord has made. Everybody's heard that verse, right? Most of us here are churchgoers. I mean, most of you guys, if you've been in church, let's say you go back to Sunday school, there's even a day. This is song. This is the day. I know that's in your mind. I'm sorry that that's in your mind right now. But, you know, in that song, you don't hear the verse that comes after that. Don't hear the verse that comes after that. That verse that comes after that is speaking to how to live in the now. And I put it in your outline so you could actually see it. He says, O Lord, save us. And I would just encourage you in your day, when you feel that anxiety level come up, when you feel that you can't deal with it, because living in the present is hard, you say to yourself, oh Lord, save me. Grant me success. Isn't it cool that the Lord wants us to be successful? Now, we don't talk about that enough in church. He wants you to be a success. He wants you to succeed. He really does. He is behind you. But you are going to have to wait on the Lord. You're going to have to trust God. Look at the people we're dealing with. Let's use them as an example. There's a verse that I would like to share with you, because living in the present is hard. The verse is from Jeremiah. I'll get to it in just a second. But living, oh my goodness, there are just so many things. Do you listen to the news? I pray that you don't. Not that I don't want you to be informed. You should be informed. But I'm telling you, if you have your, ears constantly and your eyes constantly, it is one cycle of war, of violence, of hurt, of pain, of suffering. It just feeds on itself, and it's not helpful for you. It's not bringing productive things to your life. God does not want you to sow those things, because those things are not the life that the Spirit is trying to bring to you. People that have little kids, I'm telling you, it's so true. If you have little ones, there are moments as a parent that you realize you have done a lot less clapping for your kids than you have disciplining them. And, you think about this, oh my goodness, and that's not even part of the battle. The part of the battle, especially when they get older, having kids that are, in college and graduating now, you realize that so much of the battle is in a place where you can't fight anyway. It's in their heart. And you just have to trust God. You just have to believe that God is working. I mentioned this the other services, and I'll mention it briefly to you. It's kind of like a roller coaster that we ride, right? You guys like roller coasters? I love them now. I used to hate them. When I was a little kid, I'm probably a little older than Isaac. I was really, really little, right? And I got on a roller coaster at Coney Island, New York. My dad used to live there. And so I got in this roller coaster. I was hiding underneath. I crawled under the seat, and I was just terrified. But now I love them. Now I absolutely love them. 75 miles an hour, and I'm just crazy for them. The thing that changed was, I know now from the beginning to the end, there is an unseen operator that's watching everything that happens in that roller coaster. You can't see him. You don't know. The beginning, when you get on, he's watching. When you're riding, he or she is watching. When you end, he or she is watching. It's totally under someone else's control. Nothing can happen, and if anything happens, they're on it just like that. And it made me think, and I want you to think, that you, through Christ, have an unseen operator in your life. And it doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't, I know this is difficult to handle, but what's happening is God asks you to trust him that he is moving. And check it out, it's his Spirit that is giving you the confidence to believe that. Your life can seem like dry bones, but the Holy Spirit wants you to have the confidence that it's not. That we live by faith, not by sight, and that God is actually moving. And those that move with God in that way are moving with him in his Spirit and actually see their world and the world around them change. The verse that I want to share with you is powerful for the context that we have it. It's from Jeremiah, and it's one that you probably know. Let's look at it in the outline here. In this verse, it's on the back side of the outline, and I know the latter part of this, everybody's going to know it. I know it's some people's confirmation verse. They just think that it's great, but let's look at it in context. This was spoken about where Ezekiel's people are, because people need encouragement. And this verse was given to them even before they went. And I wonder if Ezekiel might even reminded them of this. That God spoke to them before they went into exile, saying, when 70 years are completed, 70 years. I don't know of too many people who have suffered anything horrible for 70 years. God spoke to them before it happened, you're going to be there for 70 years. And then he goes on to speak. He says, but I will come to you. I will come to you. Can you see that in your suffering, in your anxiety, in your difficulty? Can you see the Lord will come to you? Because that's what he says to you and to me. And he will fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back, to bring you back to a place of victory, to bring you back to a place of comfort. to bring you back to a place where you know the love of God. Here's the beautiful verse. For I know the plans that I have for you. Put your name in that. You really need to put your name in that. For I know the plans that I have for you, Sean. And you need to think about it from that perspective, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God does this through His Word. He speaks to us with the power of His Word. It's God's promises that bring life to us. And they're what He, you know, they're given to us so that we would find this wonderful, beautiful encouragement. God, being rich in mercy, speaks these things into our life so that we could stand. That's what God wants us to do. And, you know, it's comforting for us. God means it to be a comfort to you that He knows what to do. Do not fear the challenges. Face those challenges that God is with you and I am able to. It says in this text that we are to stand. What does it look like to stand? What does it look like to stand in our lives? There's a verse that I'm reminded of. I would encourage you to read it. You can look at it later. It's Ephesians, and it talks about the armor of God. And he talks about this armor that we're supposed to put on every day. There was a friend of mine, I've shared it with you, she was in our small group in Namibia, and she said something that just has stuck with me for years and years now. And what she would do every morning when she got up in the shower, she would imagine putting the armor of God on. That's how she began her day. Isn't that cool? So she would stand in the shower as she's taking a shower, getting, and she was a manager. She had a lot of responsibility in her work. And she realized that I cannot go into this day with my family, with my husband, with my kids, with my work, without the armor of God on. And you just have to put it on. And she would put on the helmet of salvation. She knows, I'm a child of God. And I don't care what happens today, that can't change. And that is the truth. I'm going to put that on like a breastplate. And I'm going to have God's girl. And I'm going to have the shoes that are going to bring peace. Even if it's a horrible business meeting that I got to walk into, or family deal with my kids or anything else, my spouse, I know that God can bring peace to that situation, and I will trust Him to do that. The one offensive weapon we have is interesting. You probably know it. You probably heard it. It's the sword of the Spirit. And isn't it interesting that that's exactly what Ezekiel used to create life in these dry bones? And those promises of God are spoken to give you life. And when you live on them, you become a source for others to live. This is how God's made it. This is what He wants you to know and grow in. I've shared before, and I would encourage you all to do this. Who are you praying for? Who are you lifting up in your prayers? Is it a brother? Is it a sister? Is it somebody at work? I know people that pray for people at work. Isn't that an awesome thing? That is such a powerful thing. You know, if you have somebody that you're working with and they're hurting, you know, it's good just to come alongside them and say, hey, I'll pray for you. Is that all right? And you can just share with them. But as you build a friendship, as you build a caring, as you build love and that hope, It actually creates what God is trying to create, because we want His love, we want His power, we want His comfort in our lives. And He wants to move through the promises of God to do that. And I'll share with you too in closing that if you're praying for something and you're active in that way, one thing that you should do, which is really cool to do, is share the answer. Tell them. So like if you're praying for somebody and they say, oh, you know, I got to go in for surgery and something, hey, I'll lift it up. In prayer, ask them how it goes, because when you get the feedback from them and they say, wow, it really went well, last time it wasn't this good, say, hey, well, there you go. And what they see is a living God that lives in love for people who need to know that love. And we know that love through seeing the good things and the blessed things that God does for us in Christ. I pray that God would knit us together in His love and help us and cause us to grow in the reality of that and the truth of that in our lives. May God bless you and keep you and strengthen you in His love. God's peace. Amen.